But let's read in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 24. But I say unto you and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Amen. As the vessels of a potter. Are you hearing this? Are you listening to this? He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Now the saints are not going to rule over saints with a rod of iron. The saints are going to be the ones that's doing the ruling. Amen. He makes it clear who they're going to rule over. They're going to rule over the nations. Amen. That will be in the millennium. Amen. That they're going to rule over the nations. Before they rule over the nations, however, they're going to have to do some house cleaning. Amen. So he's going to rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter, they shall be broken to shivers. What? Everything in the world, it's got the devil's mark on it. Amen. They're going to be broken into shivers. Everything a devil's crowd's built in this world, got the devil's mark on it, is going to be broke to smithereens. Amen. Every blasted thing out of the will of God is going to be blasted into oblivion by the saints of God. Amen. Amen. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Who? He's overcoming. Amen. He shall rule them with a rod. This is incidentally the promise to all the true church. It is the promise to the man-child in the book of Revelations, in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, that he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Amen. And to all the saints that overcome, they're going to be the ruling class. All of those that make up the first resurrection are going to live in the New Jerusalem, and they're going to rule from the New Jerusalem the millennial world. Amen. There'll be a lot of people go into the millennium in their natural bodies, the nations that survive. Amen. Jesus, when he said one shall be taken, another left, is not talking about the rapture in that particular place. He's talking about survival. The ones that's taken is the ones that's taken away, like Noah was left, and the people in the flood were taken away. Noah survived. He was left. Him and his family, his children, the only one was left. There are other scriptures that fit the rapture more perfectly than that one. But if you want to apply that one to the present rapture, that's the way the rapture is going to be. Some are going to be taken, others left. But in the tribulation, amen, a more perfect application is that many are going to be taken, and the survivors are the ones that's going to be left to enter into the millennial kingdom. Amen. They'll be the ones whom we will reign over during the millennium. Amen. Everybody that's with me so far, say amen. Amen. He said, they shall be broken to shivers. Amen. I mean, we're going to not only rule with a rod of iron, we're going to get kind of wild with that rod. Amen. I mean, we're going to break them into shivers. I want to be on the winning side, don't you? Amen. Fictitious character that Brother Sullivan created down in the newspaper in Barberville, Kentucky, he always voted after the election. He waited till after the election to vote. They asked him why. He said, because he wanted to be on the winning side. Amen. Well, I'd like to be on the winning side, wouldn't you? Amen. And the only way to do that is get saved and stay saved. Walk with God. Hallelujah. He said, he shall rule them with a rod of iron as a vessel. Who will? Overcomer. As the vessels of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers? I mean, amen. Going to get to breaking things. Amen. Shivers mean small pieces. You know that, don't you? Amen. I mean, the devil's works and the devil's kraut going to be ground up into giblets. Amen. Listen to verse 28. And I will give him the morning star. Amen. I will give him the morning star. That's what I'd like to preach on for a little while tonight. The greatest gift of all. Hallelujah. I'll give him the morning star. Amen. You may not think it is, but Jesus is what's going to make the new Jerusalem beautiful. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory, but Jesus will outshine them all. Jesus is what's going to make the golden streets glisten. Jesus, praise God, is what's going to make the river of life glisten. Jesus is what's going to make the fruit from the tree of life good and the leaves of the trees for the healing of the nations. Praise God. I'll give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. If we'll just hold on a little longer, praise God. Amen. If we'll just hold on a little while, hold fast, he said, that which thou hast. Amen. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. You're going to get him. You say, I've already got him, but you haven't got him like you're going to get him. You got him by faith through the Spirit tonight. But someday, you're going to see him face to face. Amen. I'm going to give you the morning star. Amen. How you know he's the morning star? In Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, Balaam had climbed to the top of the mountain again and offered his sacrifices, and he started prophesying. And Balaam the son of Beor said, the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, and which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth, and Edom shall be a possession, and Seir shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. Speaking of Babylon and the works of the devil. Amen. All glory to God. Even old Balaam, when he got real high in God, he said, there's going to be a star coming out of Jacob. Hallelujah. Amen. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. I read it to you last night, but I think I need to read it to you again since I'm preaching what I am. I, Jesus. Let's say that together. I, Jesus. Say it again. I, Jesus. You're not saying it. Say, I, Jesus. You need to know who's writing this book. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. Amen. And let's say it together. And the bright and morning star. Let's say it again. And the bright and morning star. Say it again. And the bright and morning star. Do you like him? Do you want him? Then raise your hands and praise him. Adore him. Hallelujah. Praise him, whether you feel like it or not. If you love him long enough, you'll get to feeling like it. Praise God. Maybe the reason we don't feel like it is because we've got carnal. Amen. We drifted away from him. Amen. I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am. He still is. That's why he told Moses his name was. I am. Can you say that with me? I am. That's what you're going to get. I am. Praise God. The I am's coming your way. Hallelujah. The I am's coming to your town. And you sing an old song, catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. You're going to have better than a falling star. You're going to have the morning star. You're going to have better than the remnants of some burned out meteorite. You're going to get the whole thing. Amen. Did you notice that the days are already getting shorter? Did you notice that? Amen. Why, the sun was still coming through those windows a little bit almost this time. Amen. Now it's already getting dusky. Amen. The sun has already started its journey toward the south. Amen. The sun's going down after a while, and it's going to get dark. And folks, amen, the church is leaving out after a while, and it's going to get dark. Praise God. But oh, hallelujah, if we'll just be faithful to God, amen, there's a promise of the dawn of a brand new day almost every morning, and it's called the morning star. How many of you have ever been driving east when just before the sun came up? Just before it got daylight, you've been driving east and you saw that bright star. Amen. Brother Hughes, he probably saw it dozens of times driving down toward Moscow, working down there. You just get out here driving east anywhere you want to. Amen. And just before the sun comes up and all the rest of the stars have disappeared, there's one that still promises the morning. That's called the morning star. I don't know which planet makes the morning star. I don't know whether it's Venus. I don't know whether it's Saturn. I don't know whether it's Mercury or which one it is. Amen. But one of those brighter planets, more times than not, makes the morning star. But we're not going to get a planet devoid of life. No, praise God, we're going to get Jesus Christ. Let me read you about him. Amen. In the 19th chapter of the book of Revelations, praise God. He said, and I saw heaven open, verse 11, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and is called, his name is called the Word of God. That's what John called him, wasn't it? Amen. Let's say that together. The Word of God. He is synonymous with his Word. Jesus is the Word. And the Word is Jesus. How many still like him? Hallelujah. How many like him better than you do? True story. How many like him better than you do? TV. How many like him better than you do? The movies. How many like him better than you do? Your comic books. How many like him better than you do? Your video games. Huh? Hey, if you're really in love with Jesus, you love his word. Because he is the word. Praise God. If you're rejoicing in the hope of his coming, you'll read his word and live according to his word, because it's his word that makes that hope live while we wait and while we believe and while we hope. See, our salvation is still a hope tonight. It's a blessed hope, but it's nevertheless a hope. Amen. We've not seen him yet. Amen. Not in reality. Amen. But we're going to see him. How many can sing, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. Sing it. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. How many battles it gonna take? How many deaths and caskets and graveyards it gonna take? How many loved ones going down the valley is it gonna take? How much pain and misery is it gonna take? How many disappointments is it gonna take to get to where we can sing again? Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever. Are you singing it? Of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Christmas was a wonderful time back in the hills. Amen. Us kids knew there wasn't no Santa Claus, but we believed in Santa Claus because we wanted to believe in Santa Claus. It was sort of rewarding. Amen. We all had a little secret among ourselves as kids. We'd snicker and say, it's your daddy. Amen. I knew who St. Claus was down to Christmas tree, and us boys, we'd project this wise guy. You know, we knew it was Sim Waits. He did it every year. And then every once in a while, Cleve Waits would do it. They'd take turns. I'd put that pillow in their clothes, you know, and they'd play old Santa Claus at the country Christmas tree. Amen. And we all knew who it was. Amen. But just for the parents' sake, you know, amen, when we really wanting to be good, you know, we'd talk about old Santa Claus. Amen. And I don't know how she done it in a one-room log cabin, but Mama could hide nuts and candy and toys and gifts to where we couldn't find them. Once in a while, we'd find them, you know, and we'd kind of try to open a little bit corner, bitty corner, you know. But most of the time, Mama hid them so well from us till we got pretty big, we couldn't even find them. Amen. And I don't know how she done it, but she would get up while we were still sleeping and quietly move around and tidy up the Christmas tree and put all them nuts and all them coconuts and all that candy and all them gifts, and we had already told what we was looking for Christmas. I want this, and I want that. And of course, us boys, we always wanted a cap gun. Amen. But one year, when we was very small, I got a pair of blue denim overalls with a knife in the pocket with a chain on it. That's what I got for Christmas. I had me a knife and a brand new pair of blue denim overalls. Amen. And boy, I tried my knife out. The little brother Carl was all bent over one day, and his shirt was kind of wrinkled down the back. And I raked that knife down his back, and it cut that shirt everywhere it was wrinkled and didn't even get through to the hide when I raked that knife down his back. And Mama saw that shirt after a while. What caused that? Junior did that with his knife. Well, I lost my knife. All I had left was the overhauls. Amen. My gift was shrinking all the time. I'd abused my gift. Amen. You may not realize how precious this gift is, but he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. You see, the only thing we liked about Santa Claus was what he promised and what he brought. Amen. The rest of the year, forget him. Amen. Put his picture in the bottom of the box and store him away and stash him away. That's the way a lot of people are about Jesus. All they want with Jesus is somebody to talk about when they die, and somebody to talk about at their funeral. Amen. And somebody to talk about when they get sick. And my aunt who married my uncle, aunt by marriage, was a Catholic. And she said, someday we might need him. I tell you what, if you never needed the Lord before, you sure do need him now. You sure do need him now. You need him in the morning. You need him at the noontime. You need him in the evening, praise God, when the moon is shining bright. If you never needed the Lord before, you sure do need him now. If you could just hold on a little longer. Don't give up. Be patient. Brother Richard very ably and capably told us this morning that the patience of the saints is the endurance of the saints. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Amen. Now, we're not enduring our salvation. We're enduring what the devil throws at us. We're enjoying our salvation. I know some folks look like they're not. They're like a lady standing on a street corner holding tracts in her hand with a great long face and a woebegone expression. And she said to a man hurrying by, please, mister, won't you become a Christian? He took one look at her and said, no thanks, lady. I got enough troubles already. Amen. There's a lot of folks that are enduring their salvation, but there's some that's enjoying it. Everybody's enjoying your salvation. Wave your hand a little bit. Everybody that's in love with Jesus, raise your other hand and tell him, I love you, Jesus. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. And oh, I want to see him look upon his face. That is sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. I declare to you, he's the greatest gift of all. He's the one that made the world in the beginning. The Bible said he created the world and everything that was made. And without him, there's not anything made that was made. Amen. According to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28 and Jeremiah chapter 4. Amen. And 2 Peter. Amen. That world that then was ruled over by Satan. Amen. Satan then rebelled against God. And he said, I'll exalt myself above the stars. I'll exalt myself to the throne of God. I'll exalt myself above the clouds. And you know the story. Jesus said, lo, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Amen. Satan fell, and his kingdom that existed, nobody knows how long, fell. Amen. Genesis 1:1. Amen. Said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was. He created in the beginning with Lucifer as the covering cherub. Lucifer ruling it. Lucifer the brightest of all the archangels, Lucifer, in whom was built into his being all manner of precious jewels, rubies, the topaz, diamonds, amen, into his very makeup was built all manner of precious jewels, into his very makeup was made all manner of musical instruments. J. Vernon McGee said when the devil fell out of heaven, he fell in the church choir loft. Amen. There's a lot of folks had so much trouble in the choir loft that they agree, amen, that the devil fell into the choir. Amen. Sometimes he gets in the music. Amen. But every musical instrument, that's where men get their inspiration today. That's where they get these great number one hit tunes that they keep pouring out with. They're inspired of the devil. The devil is the greatest musician that God just about ever created. Amen. Nobody knows how long his kingdom lasted. Amen. We're still burning the remnants of that kingdom that God broke to shivers. He turned his kingdom upside down. Amen. Drowned all of the creation, all of the animals, all the dinosaurs. Amen. All the prehistoric animals. Amen. He turned the world upside down. Amen. And put all the vegetation so far under the earth that we got to dig it out. And so far under pressure stayed there so long. Amen. That we dig it out as coal and we pump it out of the ground as oil. Amen. 35 years ago, I told them at Granite City Camp Meeting, amen, that we're literally pumping the grease and the renderings out of that prehistoric creation that the devil ruled over. Amen. The reason we know that is from the history of Lucifer himself. Amen. By the time we get to Adam's Eden, amen, that's not the only Eden there ever was. In the 28th chapter of Ezekiel said, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Thou hast walked among the stones of fire. Amen. He was in the other Eden. He was in God's Eden. Amen. He had access to heaven. He was God's right-hand man. Amen. But the time we get to Genesis 1 and 2, the devil's already fallen out of heaven. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, chapter 3, the devil's already fallen out of heaven. Amen. And he gets in that serpent in the Garden of Eden. He's already fallen. So we don't know how long he existed before that. We don't know how long Lucifer's kingdom existed before that. But because the devil rebelled against God and put his mark on it, God destroyed it. Amen. It's about to get the best of us in Cincinnati, however. Amen. We're burning so much of that fossil fuel, they're even telling us not to mow the lawn. They're even telling us not to gas up your car till after 6 o'clock, till things cools off. Amen. They're burning so much fossil fuel. Amen. It looks like the devil, amen, is going to get the best of us after all. Don't worry about it. God's got the answer to it. Amen. He'll send the rain. He'll send the wind. The wind, he knows how to wipe out the works of the devil. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, the devil comes along and he finds Adam in a perfect state in the Garden of Eden and the earth in its second perfect state. Praise God. Amen. In its second great career. And that's the one we're in. You say, why didn't God tell us any more about it? The Bible's so big writing about this one that nobody will read it. People will hardly read it through if he wrote a bunch of details about that world that don't amount to anything as far as we're concerned. It'd be hard to get us to read, and it'd take an 18-wheel trailer truck to haul it in the first place. Amen. And somebody says, too cumbersome to read it. And so God just told us about ours for the most part. Amen. He told us enough about the fall of Satan to know that he had a kingdom. He told us where it was. It was under the clouds. Amen. And you know where under the clouds is, don't you? Amen. Right down here in this old globe. Amen. And he said he'd be cast down to the ground, and he was. Amen. He still has limited access to the courts of heaven to accuse us before God. In Job, he said when the sons of God came up together, he said that the devil came up with them. Amen. And God said to him, he saw him out there in the crowd, said, "Have you beheld my servant Job?" He still has access to the courts of heaven. He comes up the rest of God's agents that rule the world out there. Amen. We're surrounded by angels, folks. Some of them good and some of them bad. Amen. We're surrounded by demon spirits. Now, I lean toward the fact that demons, nobody knows for sure where demons come from. Some just assume that they are fallen angels that fell with the devil. Amen. But you can't prove it. Amen. Dr. J.A. Sice echoes the ideas of some of the fathers, and he said, demons are the spirits of wicked men, or spirits of men, particularly wicked men. I lean toward the fact that demons are the disembodied spirits of the pre-Adamite world that Lucifer ruled over. Amen. I can't prove that, but I lean toward that fact. However, amen, we know that they are tools of Satan. The Bible even calls them devils. But the devil don't even always leave his work up to them. Sometimes he comes himself. When he came to tempt Jesus, and listen to me, children, if Jesus had to be tempted, you gotta be tempted too. If Jesus had to be tested, you gotta be tested too. Amen. And so he came to Jesus. I mean, Jesus, fresh out of the altar, fresh out of the Baptist. John the Baptist's hands. Amen. Freshly filled with the Holy Ghost. God has spoken from heaven. And the Bible makes it clear in Matthew chapter 3. He's led of the Spirit into the wilderness for the express purpose, the Bible says, to be tempted of the devil. You're going to have temptation. Sometimes it comes in the form of tantalizing you and inviting you and deceiving you into sin. Amen. Sometimes it comes in the forms of various trials. Job's temptation, first he lost everything he owned. Then he lost all his children in his temptation. Amen. And then he lost his health. The devil afflicted him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Amen. Now, God knows that we're going to be tried. God knows that we have to be tried. He said in Psalms 11th chapter that God trieth his saints. Amen. The saints are going to be tried. That's necessary. You need to know that. Amen. You need to know that somewhere down the road in your life, it's going to get dark. And you're going to say, "Why, God, is it so dark?" Amen. And everywhere you look, the devil's got his mark on everything. We've been in camp meeting for a week. For a week, we didn't read the newspapers. For a week, we didn't know anything's going on in the world. For a week, we didn't see anything that's going on in the world. Amen. We went to the camp meeting. We was there all day and rested between the services, fellowshipping with the saints of God. And then all of a sudden, you had to go to the store. And after being in that atmosphere of Christianity and the Spirit and glory, and then you go out into the world, you have culture shock. I mean, amen, Brother Ray is talking about the other. I mean, you look at it after being in the presence of God and sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and you go out there and you see the world going almost stark naked, and how evil everything looks all around you, the advertisements and the magazines, and it makes you want to shout to the top of your voice, "The world's going to hell!" Amen. And it is. The devil puts his mark on everything. You can't hardly turn on the radio. You can't hardly turn on the CB on the highway with your family in the car. Amen. You can't hardly turn on, you can't hardly turn the pages of the newspaper. There it is. Amen. It's a sex cell, the world. Amen. Listen to this. I saw heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True, and Righteousness, he that judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. You're going to get him for your captain after a while. And you're going to wear that white robe made out of fine linen, clean and white. When Lawrence of Arabia, amen, joined the Arabs to unite them against the Turks and the Germans during World War I, amen, T.E. Lawrence was his name, amen. When he went among the Arabs and went barefooted like they did, learned to ride the camel like they did, and learned to do without water like they did. Well, the water hose was 3 days apart. And when they stopped, they would mix a little flour with water and bake it in front of the fire and eat that. They was baking bread in the desert. Amen. And he led those Arabs. He united those warring tribes that had been at each other's throats for ages unknown. Amen. He pulled off his army khakis and his army clothes and his army boots. He went barefooted like they did. He learned to speak their language, and he learned their customs. He was already a student of their customs. And T.E. Lawrence loved the Arab people and sometimes hated himself for his own hypocrisy, for they were using the Arabs to satisfy the ambitions of England and other allies. Amen. And they were willing to win even at the price of the deception of the Arab world. And T.E. Lawrence sometimes hated himself. Most always when he took off his army khakis and his combat boots to go into the desert and ride a camel and live like the Arabs and fight fleas and lice and drink the brackish water that sometimes was in the water holes and eat the bread that they ate. Amen. He put on a snow white robe. Amen. And he wore that. And he's quite a spectacle, riding out across the desert on his camel on a snow white robe. It was more practical for him, because the white reflected the heat of the sun, where it was 120 degrees in the daytime. Amen. And therefore it was cooler for him. The Arab dress is very practical for the Arab way of life in the desert. And so Lawrence of Arabia put on those white robes. In the East, they still, on those dress occasions, men don those white robes and come all the way to the ground. Here he is, the Son of God. Amen. Who one time walked the shores of Galilee. Hallelujah. Who one time wore a seamless robe, the work clothes of the East. Listen, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. How did he get this dipped in blood? His own blood, for one. And then, amen, from treading the wine press of the wrath of God. Amen. When it come time for the harvest of the grapes, they throwed the grapes in a great big stone vat. Amen. Usually stone vat, if they could. And then they would roll up the skirts of their garments until it came up above the grapes. And they would get in there barefoot and squash them grapes till the juice ran out. Amen. And that's the way they treaded the wine press. They squashed them with their feet. Amen. And when they squashed those feet, and sometimes they danced to little tunes and music while they tread planted the grapes, amen, the grapes splashed all over the skirts of their garments until the garments were stained with the grapes. Here he comes riding that snow white horse, amen, wearing a white robe, and the saints wearing white robes, and his robe is stained with blood from treading the grapes in the 16th chapter of the wine press of the wrath of God. You're going to need him on your side. You're going to need him fighting for you, because he's going to win. Amen. It's the people that are rebelled against God that he's treading. Amen. And it's them that we're going to defeat as we ride out with him on that white horse. Praise God. His presence means victory. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath in his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I present him to you tonight, the bright and morning star. And if you'll overcome, you can have him and all he'll mean in the last days. Amen. Jesus will outshine them all. Father, bless this message tonight. Challenge our hearts, Lord God, with the morning star. Help us to realize in the world and in the earth's darkest hour, he is the hope of the dawn.